My name is Cynthia Feely, and I am 42 years old. Today is March 2nd, 2018, and I'm speaking with Marie Jones, who is my mother, and we are recording this interview over the telephone. I'm in Tennessee, and she's in Nevada. Now, Mom, can you tell me about someone who has had a big influence on your life?
Well, I moved to Henderson, Nevada, where I was 12 years old, and our church leader was Marlon Walker, who was the high school Spanish and Latin teacher, and he was also the lay minister of our Mormon group and our ward. And he made an indelible mark upon my life by teaching me values of the Savior's life and the way to live with integrity and value to my life and an example. And he was always such a good example. He inspired all of us young people to be the best we could. I know he had counseled me in private that he told me I was a leader and that a young girl in our age group was being kind of ostracized, and for me to if I would befriend her, that the others would befriend her, and she would be a valuable asset in our group, and I would have a lifelong friend. Well, that's come to pass, and because she helped me, she became an English teacher, and she helped me in my, when I went back to school and got my teaching certificate, she helped me through all the teaching behavioral objectives and things that I needed, and helped me a sounding board for my English papers and such forth. And he was a shining example of a role model of how to live like the Savior wanted us to live.
Well, you kind of answered the next question, which is, would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person taught you? Is there any other lesson that person taught you?
He had a terribly humble nature about him, and he never was prideful, and that kind of always stuck with me about, you know, you don't have to toot your own horn. You can let your good works stand for themselves, and it's often good to do good deeds in secret.
All righty. My next question is, can you describe one of your happiest memories?
Well, I achieved a goal that I wanted to do, and that was to be married to a worthy young man in my church and to go to the temple, and I was able to accomplish that goal, and I felt like it was something that was, it seemed so out of reach, but when I worked for it, I was able to attain it and just set the tone of my life.
What made you happy about that memory?
To know that I could be in the fellowship of the church and be able to live the precepts of, and commandments of the Lord and be truly worthy of the covenants that I made in the temple.
I've seen pictures of you and Dad on the day you are married. Is there anything that, like, when you looked at him, was there anything any feeling that, like, came across when you looked at him?
Oh, I just marveled at the young man that was calm and cool and collected and had so much polish on him that I had not seen him be angry, and he was always so gentle, and this carried through in our whole married life. We never fought loudly. We had disagreements, but he always had his emotions under control and treated his fellow man with respect and kindness. And I think that's what I admired about him the most, and his wisdom. and making decisions.
All right. What are you proudest of?
Well, I think the life that my five daughters are living now makes me the happiest and the proudest, because they all have families. They all are raising their families with good Christian values, and they're kind, and they're, when they see a need in their circle of friends, they're able to help and compassionate. And I find that they've taught their children this way, and their children are so compassionate to me in my latter years, and the health problems that I've been having. It just makes me so proud that they have their right values, and that as a matriarch of the family, that I'm not going to be forgotten, that I'm going to be loved and taken care of, and I'm so proud of them internalizing the values I wanted them to internalize.
Okay. My next question is, how would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as a person who always looked at the glass half full and was happy and was kind to those around them and had a good outlook on life, and always, even though the struggles and trials came, they always rose to the occasion and was able to take the higher road.
Is there anything else you'd like to be remembered by?
That I was true to my Savior and to my Heavenly Father. They are important to me, and that I live the laws of the church the way that I should live them and be counted as a worthy church member.
Okay. If this were to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me?
Oh, I'd want you to tell you don't give up, and to always be happy and look at things in a positive nature, and that people are genuinely good. And if you give out with kind and generous, and that you'll get kind and generous back, and that you are loved and that you've always been loved, and that your father and your mother loved you dearly and were thrilled with you, and that your Heavenly Father loves you too. And this is so important for you to have that, that I would want you to remember that, and that you would be stand up as a worthy member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
That's really a hard question to answer. This last weekend, one of my friend's moms died, and my heart goes out to him and what he's going through. The funeral's on Saturday, and so if he could talk to his mom one more time, I mean, what would that be? You know, like, I love you, be good, you're a good person. Like,
yeah, I'd want to instill that, you know, in you and any of my children, that I loved you dearly, and that I was so thrilled to be a mother and to have you as my daughter.
Life is so fragile.
Yes, it is.
All right. And we're at the last question. I just, before we go to the last question, I just want to say, it kind of makes me think of Dad and my last conversation with Dad. And I don't remember a lot about it, but I knew he always had the answers. Like, I could call him and ask him about anything, and he would know what to say.
Yes, he had an insight about things. I remember when you had you had your first little car, and you ran it across the country several different times, and it by the time you were ready to get a new car, that little car was just a little beat up little car. And you called Dad and asked, well, should I keep the insurance on it other than liability? Because it was full coverage when it was paid for. And your dad said, well, can you afford to replace that car? You both need a car now. And can you afford to replace it? And when you said no, you couldn't, he says, well, then that's your answer. If you can't afford to replace it, then you need to have it be insured. Because if something happened, you would need that insurance money to get you into another car. And not 2 weeks after that conversation, Ryan got broadsided by a person coming out of a parking lot, and it destroyed that little car. Yet, because of the insurance, you were able to have enough money to get into another second car. And he was always like that. He had the gift of calmly telling you to analyze how your life was going and what you needed in your life. And, you know, going back to that question where, what would I tell you? I would tell you to be true to your ancestors. You know, we have a glorious history. We had, on my father's side, we had Christian Wiegmann, who came from Germany in the 1720s to America. He was one of the children of the Wiegmann family in Germany, and they were so poor they could only send one child, and they sent the one they thought could survive and live survive in a new land, primitive land, and they sent Christian, and he did. He raised a big family in Pennsylvania, and he has a huge family, a huge offspring now, and genealogy, a foundation of Wiegmanns that stem from him, and it goes that on all the sides of your dad's side and my side, the determination to live the precepts of the church, and when they came across the plains walking with a handcart, as Lily Lowe Page did, that's your great-great-grandmother, that was my great-grandmother, and a young girl, she walked across the middle of the country and came to Utah, and because of that heritage, we can accomplish anything we set our mind to because we have that strength and that genetic makeup that has a pioneer builder spirit in us. I'd want you to always remember that you come from good stock.
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, Cindy.
So, speaking of great-great-grandmothers, and so for your great-great-grandchildren, if they're listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom that you would want to pass on to them? And what would you want them to know?
Well, I'd want them to be honorable. I would want them to live the laws of the land and to be true and trustworthy and to whatever their passion is, to work at that because that's what they'll be good at. And whether it doesn't matter if it's going to be a fantastic paying job or if it's going to be just a school teacher salary like you have and like I had for 25 years. It's important that we have faith in ourselves and we keep a buoyancy of happiness in our lives and look at the world as with a good attitude. And even though we have things that make us sad and try to bring us to our knees, we can always get up and we can go on and because we have faith in our God and we know that we will be sustained and supported by that faith. I'm so proud of you and you're going through this college at this age. It just is a wonderful testament to me that you love children and you love teaching and that's what you want to do. And it's not a job. It's a love. It's a joy to get in the classroom and see the learning light go on.
I often think about that, how you went back to school to finish your degree at 40, and here I am at 40 plus, going back to school to get my degree.
Yeah, I had 6 children at home, and I went back to finish my last 2 years of teaching on my teaching degree. And my 3-year-old and I went to UNLV, and he went to daycare, and I went to my classes. And it was hard being in the class with young 19 and 20-year-olds. But I found that it was a challenge, but it was exciting, but it was worth it because it got me into a classroom, and I love to see the learning light go on in children when they learn lessons. I was a primary teacher. Second grade was my best area that I wanted to taught most of my career, 16 years in second grade. And that was the seeing children explore knowledge and learn to read and have the joy of accomplishment. That's just a wonderful payback.
Well, Mom, I want to thank you for letting me interview you today. And this is going to conclude our interview.
Well, thank you, Cindy, for asking me.
Okay. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right.